which no one seemed to notice. Their patients were usually too severely injured, and their families too distressed to care about the slightly forlorn evidence of the holidays scattered around the unit. Patients with the flu, food poisoning, bronchitis, or a sprained ankle ordinarily went to other hospitals. Only the most severe injuries and a steady flow of the homeless population who were injured or ill and brought in by the police went to SF General. The work was challenging for the medical staff and a valuable learning experience for UCSF students. Bill Browning had seen just about everything that humans could inflict on themselves and each other during his career as an ER and trauma doctor. Nothing shocked him anymore. But it still saddened him to see the victims of the gangs. Their deaths were so senseless, such a waste, and evidence of young lives gone wrong. He had signed the death certificate of a 16-year-old boy only 2 hours earlier. He hadn't stopped moving or sat down in the 5 hours he had been on duty since 10 that morning. It was a hell of a way to spend Christmas. But his two little girls, Philippa, called Pip, and Alexandra, Alex, were in London, where they lived with their mother. They were 9 and 7 years old. Their mother, Athena, was British. She had left San Francisco, and Alex was 3 weeks old, the earliest date their pediatrician would allow her to travel so far with a newborn. Athena couldn't wait to leave. The marriage had been dead long before that, although Bill had tried valiantly to hang on and convince her to keep trying. But their union had been doomed from the first. Since the divorce, he had plunged himself into his work more than ever, and didn't see his girls nearly enough. He had them for a month in the summer, Christmas and alternate years, and whatever other time he could manage to fly to London for a few days. His ex-wife didn't like sending the girls to San Francisco to see him. They'd been divorced for 6 years. She had remarried a British lord a year later, and now had 2-year-old twin boys. Her second husband, Rupert, was exactly who she should have married in the first place. Her family referred to Bill as the American and considered him her youthful mistake. Athena had been 23 when they met in New York. He'd been visiting his parents for a week during his residency. After medical school at Columbia, he'd done his internship and residency at Stanford and stayed on in San Francisco afterward when he was offered a job at SF General. It wasn't cushy or glorious, but it was the right place for the trauma work he wanted to do. He had no desire to return to New York. He enjoyed the weather and the outdoor sports he could pursue in San Francisco in his time off, hiking, windsurfing, sailing year-round, and he particularly liked the hospital where he worked and the kind of patients they treated. His parents were part of an elitist, snobbish social world that had always made him uncomfortable. He avoided it at all cost. While visiting them, under pressure, he reluctantly agreed to join them at the party where he had met Athena. He was 29 years old and dazzled by her. She was spectacularly beautiful, a little eccentric, outrageous, and a rebel. She had grown up in a sophisticated, glamorous, international jet-set world and was visiting friends in New York. Bill had fallen head over heels in love with her, and she had come to San Francisco a month later to pursue their torrid affair. She stayed. He was working long shifts in his residency, and whenever he wasn't working, they spent most of their time in bed or doing the sports he enjoyed and introduced to her. She thought their romance exciting and exotic. Bill was different from any man she'd ever known. He was straightforward, honest, hard-working, and modest. She was wild, sexy, and a rare bird for him. She'd gotten pregnant with Pip 6 months later, and they flew to London over a long weekend to explain the situation to